Well, howdy, folks. Howdy, folks. Welcome back to the Wild Wild West Show featuring Ted and Austin Brower on the high horses. You got a purple cassette? Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research.
Are you just kind of saying whatever
I'm just saying whatever. I was thinking about something you just said to me, and then I'm thinking about my purple sticks, and I grabbed a can, and it's empty. And I've also had four attention factors this morning, so I'm moving real quick.
Oh, I got to make sure I give you a wide berth, boy. Now, yesterday we went and got you a real ID. You loved it.
You really got to bring that up.
My driver's license.
I managed to keep the oldest driver's license.
17 years.
It wasn't a real ID. It's my photo from when I was 21. Managed to somehow renew this thing underneath the counter for years on end. Then finally it expired. And I've tried every which way to renew it without getting a real ID. With no success. So I had to go get one yesterday.
So we had a friend in the car with us yesterday, and she told me we got home. She goes, you know, listening to you and Austin is like listening to one of your podcasts. You guys just go all day, talk all the time about everything, even when you're not on the air. I said, well, yeah. She goes, well, you may. No, she said this. She goes, you guys made it sound like effortless. It was just like a conversation that I was just trying to keep up. And I thought, yeah, so kind of welcome to the conversation between the – between Ted and Austin Brower, this is exciting.
Well, I got a bunch of health articles for you guys today. Just strap in your 5 points, get your nitrous bottle ready to purge. I got a whole lot of stuff we're going to cover, some wild stuff we're going to cover today.
That's a scuba diving term.
That's a car term.
Nitrous. I said nitrox. I missed it.
Nitrox. Yeah, I'm running nitrox next week.
No, you're a purple stick and tension factor ahead of me.
We're moving quick, man. Keep up.
All right, I'm going to take two more purple sticks.
All right, so first off, I'm going to start off with this isn't a health article at all. This is a funny article. By the way, purple sticks are on sale for products of the week. One last day.
Give me camera 4 real quick, Rich, so I can jump up when everybody see me move.
Jump.
Okay.
Go. Purple sticks on sale, product of the week. You guys know them. You love them. Grab them right now and vote for what you want to see win as well next week. These are on sale for over 12% off. Go easy on them. Sometimes I take too many, and sometimes I get a lot done really quick. And so be sure to be like me sometimes. And vote as well for the product of the week. We got chelation, ashwagandha, CoQ10, DHA, liver support. Pick which one you want to win and vote and submit. And we'll see what rolls out tomorrow. And I will put it on a big sale for y'all. On top of that, we're also working on the Brower Bucks ecosystem. I told y'all that's coming together. And that's going to roll out probably next month. Really, really cool protocol or platform we're going to have on that. Being able to buy things, get certain things, have certain activities. Discuss stuff with Ted and I one-on-one. We're going to do a show together. And it's only going to be able to use points as Brower Bucks. So you can't buy it. It's going to be part of our customer's status that will work with us, that you know basically take our products and that have the ability to work with us one-on-one. And it's our own little ecosystem. So I'm just, you know, I'm making a little Health Masters world now since I don't want to be involved in this other. Coming in? All right.
We used to have before we disassembled the studio and removed
it. It's on the wrong side of the room.
Yeah, so I don't have a place. You don't care.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Now, first article I'm going to cover, this is a health article. This is pretty cool. It says high-dose vitamin D may slow progression of MS-like neurological disorder.
Give me 5 minutes, and I'll catch up to you with a purple six. But I need 5 minutes.
Let's go.
MS and the vitamin D, I've heard this for many, many years.
People taking 100,000 units of vitamin D every day for 2 weeks had less nerve damage when assessed by an MRI scan. This is a big deal, guys.
A lot of times you have demyelination of the nerves, which is like it's like a copper wire that loses its insulation.
Just raw copper wire.
So now the nerve doesn't have the ability to transmit a signal through the nerve because it just disperses. So you lose body control. And the problem with that is that vitamin D3 is what holds that myelin sheath, around that nerve together. And if you don't have enough vitamin D, it can come apart and create a lot of these problems.
Well, a lot of stuff they're saying here, so obviously ALKS can be very, very painful. It says patients who were treated with 100,000 IUs of D3 or placebo for 2 weeks for a period of 24 months. Primary outcome measures the occurrence of the disease activity. The findings revealed that 60% of the participants receiving vitamin D had symptom relapse or further nerve lesions on MRI compared to 74 receiving those who received the placebo. So they had significant, almost 15% less relapse issues when they were taking the vitamin D, which that's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
That's a lot of people.
That's one of the reasons why I talk to you guys all the time about vitamin D and checking your D3 levels. I, again, will say this, and I know I repeat myself. If you're getting blood work done, make sure you guys are getting your D3 levels checked. I've talked to so many people in the past that get their bloods done, and their D3 never gets checked. It's nowhere on the list. I'm like, dude, that is one of the most important things to always check on there. So that's one thing that I always recommend. Now, this is a funny article. I'm going to give you guys this. This is what we call placation or placating somebody. This is when you're basically saying something to somebody to kind of pacify them. And this is what you do when you're going to gaslight somebody essentially and try to manipulate them to go along with something.
You mean lie?
Lie, yeah. Basically, it's this psychological operation, kind of the carrot and the stick with the donkey, except there is no carrot. It's just a fake figment that you're basically trying to offer somebody. Once again, Trump, full of empty promises, says Chevron and Exxon are making too much money from high oil prices. He said the two oil giants, he demands they give their profits back to the public and cut the retail price.
He can't do that because of shareholders and because we're not a fascist regime. He doesn't have the control over private corporations yet.
Now, this is all theater. This is 100% theater. He says, I don't like it. They're making too much money. Chevron posted second quarter adjusted earnings of $12 billion for the second quarter. And, you know, it's funny. I said this 2 months ago. I said, this entire thing, he's tied in with the shareholders, with the speculators. And this way, every day, he'd do something different with Iran. We're bombing Iran to oblivion. We're wiping out entire civilization. Never exist again. Next day, we've got a peace treaty deal. Everything's done. It's done. Best peace treaty deal in existence. I can't believe I came up with this myself. It's going to work so well. Next morning, we're bombing them in oblivion. They're going to all die. It's all theater. It was designed to keep everything back and forth, to keep the markets going up and down.
No, I'm
going
to read you this. Source close to the Iranian officials says Tehran has documented a pattern of oil market manipulation tied to the Axios reports of Trump's administration insiders, including evidence of a $9 billion inside trader operation linked to Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff.
There you go.
Some of the documented timeline for the $9 billion insider profit. And it goes into detail. I've just posted this so you can read it. It says on May the 6th, nearly $920 million to $1.7 billion in crude oil shorts were placed approximately 70 minutes before the Trump released his information.
I can't make this up, dude. I called this out, guys, 3 months ago. I called it out. I watched the markets and told you guys.
I don't even know what to say about this, but we told you so. And so Austin told you so. And so now we've got people running around screaming, the tribulation is near. The tribulation is near. Don't be unprepared. You know, I mean, stop with the tribulation stuff. Just stop. Okay. You got the pre, the mid, and the post-tribulation people to say, okay, we're going to get raptured before the trib starts. We're going to get raptured in the middle of the trib. We're going to get raptured at the end of the trib. Well, all this was through the Scofield Reference Bible, which has been used as giant obfuscation live to us for the last 100 years by Cyrus Scofield and Cyrus Scofield and Darby. And the sad part about it is that most theologians now who believe in, you know, dispensationalism promote this from the pulpit. So you'll behave. Listen to me. So you'll behave and be a good little peasant and not complain about what the government is doing, because you're not going to go through anything bad anyhow, because you're going to get raptured. I got newsflash for you. It didn't happen in Germany, with all the people that got killed in Germany or in Russia or in either world war or in China. Guess what? No rapture occurred, and millions upon millions, hundreds of millions died. Now, there's a meme I want you to post up there real quick. It's going to tie right together with this. Now, remember they told us, if you're not careful, you know, we're all going to be Nazified, and we'll all be a bunch of Nazis in the United States. Now, I can say this, if we were under a fascist regime and the president was the Fuhrer, there you go, at least we're not all speaking German, right?
I've heard that comment multiple times before.
Yeah, you got it before, Rich.
It's always about justifying the sadistic behavior of one group by saying, well, at least we did this so this didn't happen. That's always how we do it. Well, we had to bomb Iran so they didn't drop a nuclear missile on the United States.
Well, no, think about it. You know, give us this camera back, middle camera, Rich. But the crazy thing about this is when you stop and you look at it, they all told us, we'll all be speaking German if we don't kill all the Nazis.
I heard that. I read about that.
And after the war, they starved like 7 million Germans to death to make sure that we didn't speak German. And they basically put them in concentration camps at the end of the war. We had 3 million troops, the Eisenhower death camps, that were starved to death because they said they were enemy combatants and not troops, so they weren't, the Geneva Convention didn't apply. And this goes on and on and on. Remember, Germany was the only country in the world in the last 200 or 300 or 400 years that was willing to stand against the international banking cartels and say, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to print debt-free currency. And they started printing debt-free currency and threw the Rothschild boys out. And then it took the entire world to come against them, and Germany fought the war with no debt. They didn't have to borrow any money because it was debt-free currency. And ended up getting beaten by the entire world because they tried to stand against the global Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan and said, hey, about this, we don't want to be your little blankety blanks anymore. Tell you what, hit the road, Jack. Get out of our country. We don't want you guys here. If you're going to try to enslave us, we're not going to say, we're going to say no. And now we see all of this stuff. Same, exact same. They control the media. They control the outcome.
Yeah, they control the oil markets.
Oh, by the way, our oil is going to drop down to $1 a gallon and 50 cents for diesel in the next month. You watch and see what happens. I give you my word this is going to happen. Exxon, you're making too much money. Drop the prices right now. Well, how about the millions of shareholders, including BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard? Says, we don't think so.
Well, no. You remember when we were all getting massive refund checks from the tariffs?
Oh, and don't forget about the Doge refunds.
Oh, yeah. I'm still waiting on that one. We were supposed to get Doge refunds from the cuts. Oh, but I remember when the tariffs were going to be so efficient, we were going to get rid of IRS.
Well, you know what was all we had was a 25% increase in doggone cars coming out of Europe, which, by the way, are still applying.
They jacked the price up and left it up. And so now
Volkswagen's in such trouble with Porsche and all the rest. They're laying off tens of thousands of employees because they can't, you know, meet the needs of the world with the current prices, so they're losing sales, and China stopped buying their stuff.
Well, they're eating. Europe's eating about half the tariff, so they're applying about half of it in an MSRP raise for everything from Mercedes to Audi across the board, and then they're basically eating the other half of the tariff that's on there. And that was the big to-do now, the big wallop with the tariffs. Oh, but you remember when we were actually going to audit Fort Knox? I remember that.
Boy, that was the end of Doge right there, buddy.
That was the end of Elon Musk in the White House.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to say this, and I'll go on record to say this. In my personal humble opinion, you know, the reason Nixon took us off the gold standards, people were cashing their dollars in for gold, and they had pretty much emptied out Fort Knox, and he didn't want the world to know that. And so he took us and put us on a free-floating exchange rate through the Exchange Stability Fund, by the way. And by the way, the Exchange Stability Fund just bought a bunch of Japanese yen.
That's interesting. Right.
No, I'm talking hundreds of billions of dollars worth of yen.
Oh, wow.
Because the yen was in freefall fall, and they had to make sure. Remember now, if the yen goes into freefall, Toyota and Lexus goes down in price.
That's true.
Which is great for us. Oh, but we can't do that. We got to make sure the international banking cartel, who controls the Bank of England and the Bank of Japan and the Bank of the United States, that they basically do what they need to do with the Exchange Stability Fund. Years ago, I posted 5-part series, like 8 minutes a piece, on the Exchange Stability Fund and what it really is. It goes through the New York Fed, and the New York Fed and the Treasury have become one through that. Basically, not on paper, but rhetorically, they are not one. And so the sad part about it is they completely control and manipulate currency values all over the world through that. So now they decide to prop up the yen. I mean, I would like to buy a Lexus for half price.
Oh, yeah.
That new Lexus, what's that dude? Is it Land Cruiser?
That's
a
big one.
That's a good-looking truck, man.
It's a monster off-road, too.
I took one off-road.
It's got a great four-wheel drive system.
No, I took one off-road with a friend of mine about a year and a half ago, and I couldn't believe what it would do. Yeah. It feels light. It's got a lot of torque. Great car.
But they'll never let the prices go down on it. It's the same way with all these other vehicles. They got to keep running the price up. And it's funny, I had a conversation last night with one of my good buddies in Orlando, who runs basically an exotic car dealership over there, and he said one of the issues that's happening, too, and nobody's talking about, is BlackRock and multiple equity firms have gotten in the exotic market now. That's why they're buying up everything. Dude, a Ferrari Enzo, if you guys know, the Ferrari Enzo from 2003, great car, super cool car, saw one in person one time at a show. It slammed the gavel at Mecum Auto Auction for $17.8 million.
You've got to be kidding.
$17.8
million. That car was like $600,000.
$600,000 new in 2003.
I remember.
What's happened is he said all the big equity firms, BlackRock and all the ones now, they've realized that these cars are going to be collector pieces in the next 10, 20, 30 years, and they're literally just dumping cash in them as assets.
Well, because what they are, they're solid assets.
That's not
currency. I had a friend of mine who basically owned a big RV dealership over in Tampa, over in Plant City, and he had one. He bought so many cars, he got an Enzo, and he hit a doggone retaining wall with it going up in the interstate, lost control of it, and totaled the car. And because he was such a big customer, they sent the plate from that car and rebuilt that same number over.
Yeah, the carbon fiber model cockpit, they sent and rebuilt it.
Yeah,
they only made 660 of those, I think, worldwide when they built them in 2003.
At least it wasn't 666. Didn't we have a friend of ours who totaled a car that was a 666?
Yeah, the last three of the VIN number was. That was interesting. But so I found that interesting. That's why a lot of these cars, so it's happened. They've realized there's a market now that people aren't really a big fan of this whole hybrid system. The problem with the hybrid system is that you're relying now on a battery system to keep the vehicle functioning, because anything new now with hybrid systems, if the batteries go out, the motor doesn't run. It's part of it.
I didn't know that.
No, if you just have an electrical system with that hybrid system.
So if you bought a new Porsche Turbo 911S.
If it has a failure in the hybrid battery system, it will not function properly. You may be able to go into limp mode. get it somewhere. But you are not going to be able to have the vehicle function the full tilt.
That's
and
not
so
good.
That's what's happened now is these equity firms, these investors, these big dealerships are going in now. And they're like, it doesn't matter what the price is on these old collector piece cars. They know what's going to happen with them in 10, 20 years.
I know where there was a guy who was I'm not going to mention any names here because it's kind of confidential information, so I won't give you any details. But the Porsche's coming out with a new GT3 RS convertible.
Yes.
And they're only making a few hundred.
Was it just GT3 SST? I think one of them.
I don't know, but it's a good-looking car. And the crazy part about it is I got a friend of mine who basically has a dealership over in Tampa, and he told me, he said that the first one's going to a big law firm, okay, that they had a contract. The guy had a contract through his law firm that they got the first car. And they're still charging them $150. That's it right there.
That's the Enzo.
Oh, that's the Enzo. Show them.
I'm from the Enzo. I'm sure about what an $18 million car looks like.
Show them what the GT3 RS convertible looks like.
I'll find that.
Yeah. But so anyhow, he ended up basically.
They're only making 200 of them.
Yeah.
Per year. Yeah.
And so they're going to keep the price up. That's the thing that's crazy to me. Porsche can't maintain its sales and its volume and its overhead by making 200 of a certain exotic. They can't do it. Because there's too many employees.
Well, you got to look at like companies like Koenigsegg. Mm-hmm. They do that. They'll only make like 40 or 50 of a model, but the car retails for like $5-6 million. Mm-hmm. They're all handmade, I think, in Norway.
Yeah.
Where's it? Where's Koenigsegg?
Oh, by the way, a lot of you guys are not car people, and you send me emails. Stop talking about cars. Okay, you're right.
The reason I'm bringing this up, is because this is a relevant topic when it comes to the automotive industry and investment market. Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason why I brought this up. On the topic of it.
Bring up that GT3 RS. I want to show that to people just in case you get mad at us. You get really mad at us with this one. That's it right there. That's a pretty
SC, color. That's what it is. Yeah.
There you go. Rich, give me camera four for just a second. Now, that's a pretty car.
Cool car.
Now, whether you don't, and that's 500 horsepower, normally aspirated. No electric, no
flat
anything.
Flat 4-liter, 9,000 RPM redline.
Nice car. Okay, anyway, back to Trump. Trump is now ripping the unbelievably duplicitous Iran for denying peace talks after he scrapped weekend strike plans. So what Trump's saying is, hey, look, I can lie as much as I want to lie. I can gaslight as much as I want to gaslight. But if you don't do what you say you're going to do, you're duplicitous. How do you feel about that? That's odd to me.
Well, that's the typical gaslighting mantra, right? You have to agree with me. If you don't agree with me, basically, you're the problem. I couldn't possibly be the problem. My actions and my behavior could never be an issue. You're the one that are causing all the problems.
Now let me stop for 1 second. I'm going to defend Trump. You never thought I'd say that.
Everybody's there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, too, as far as his echo chamber that's just out of control.
Whoa. Trump ain't making these decisions. You think Joe Biden was running the White House? The same people that were running the White House with Joe Biden are running the White House with Trump. And it's the same ones that are tied together with Mossad and MI6 and CIA and Jeffrey Epstein and Benjamin Netanyahu. These are just handlers. You have a lower level pyramid. You got the top guy. The top guy, by the way, on top is Lucifer. Just thought I'd mention that to you guys who believe in God. And it goes down from there. I remember last night I was talking to a family member who's dying of cancer. I've even told you this today. And I told him, I said, look, I said, have you thought about what's going to happen to you here in a few weeks? I mean, you got hospice coming in with morphine. And he looked at me. He said, look at me. I was on the phone with him. It was an audio chat, not video. And I said, he says, well, no, I've not really thought about that. I really haven't been in church since I was 13 years old. And I looked at him. I said, here's the deal. I'm going to send you a copy of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I said, I need you to read that for me and mean it and kind of read it every day to kind of build your faith up. You need to bring a priest in. He said, and so he read it. And I said, okay, thank God for that. Now, are you saying that means he's saved, that he's going to heaven? Hey, look, as far as I'm concerned, I can do what I can do, and the rest is up to God.
There you go.
But the point is, we all have a time when we check off the planet, when we basically check out of the hotel, go to another hotel, because we don't die. Don't remember that we never, ever die. So always keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Now, we cover all this stuff, and we tell you guys, hey, look, here's the deal. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And it seems to happen all the time the way we tell you it's going to happen. Somebody said to me the other day, why are you guys always right? I said, we're not always right. Every once in a while, issue a retraction. I told you the nose cones on these airlines are made out of aluminum. They're not. I issued a retraction. Oh, by the way, yesterday, the guy that we talked about, that we never mentioned his name, okay, he basically he's married with kids. The guy that we thought was gay. Now, whether he's gay or not or a closet gay, we don't know.
He is missing an incredibly good opportunity to be gay. Did I just say that?
I can't believe you said that.
He just acts like a flamer. And I think that the arrogance, the hubris is what irritates me so bad. Is when you got somebody sitting there going, well, you know, a 5-year-old needs to be punished. You know, if a 5-year-old knows his parents are watching him,
he said we're all 5-year-olds.
That's exactly what he said. You know, because a 5-year-old knows you're watching them all the time. You know, they're not going to do it. They're getting away with it.
You know what bothers me with this is what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is so true about this. It says, judge not, lest ye be judged.
There you go.
You know, I mean, people want to judge everybody for everything. And the reason for that is because their sin is different than your sin. Now, I said that. You get these preachers getting up in the pulpit, they point their bony finger at you, and they say, oh, you're doing this. We're all saved by grace through faith. None of us deserve heaven, period. Because we basically have how would you say this? If you want to use a physics term, our energy field is incompatible with God's energy field because we have sin or we have a virus in the energy field, and it won't mesh. It's Jesus like our transformer. We plug into him. He's plugged into God. He cleans us up, and then we're allowed to basically be part of the energy field of God, or which we call heaven. And that allows us to become one with God. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see us anymore. He sees Jesus. And see, we don't – the thing with grace is people need to get this. I don't care if you're a preacher, a pastor, or whatever. Every single person is going to sin. They're going to think something wrong. They're going to look at something wrong. They're going to do something wrong, and they're going to be – they're going to separate them from God. And without Jesus, there is no hope for any of us, period. That's why he says, I am the only way, the truth, the life, to the truth, and the light. And that's why we have to understand that. So don't get into a habit of judging other people. Now, if the Word of God says something's not good, you need to make sure you try to do the best you can possibly can. But if you miss it, confess your sins, ask God to forgive you, and move on. Don't allow your past to dictate your future, but try not to stay into a sinful lifestyle. That's important, really, really important. By the way, more than just objects, speaking about ancient manuscripts and things that haven't been changed. And we covered this a few weeks ago. Australian booksellers are raising alarm over horrific destruction of the rare titles to feed AI. They're scanning these books, these old manuscripts that are 400, 500, 600, 800 years old.
Well, they got to turn around the binder to run them through the scan system for AI. They basically have to ruin the book. They pull the binder apart on it.
Well, then they toss them.
Yeah, they toss them. They're ruined.
And it says, you know, secondhand booksellers believe they may have seen and been caught up in the AI supply chain that sees old books scanned and then destroyed. Sometimes books tell you more than just the content, says Tim White, as he lines up carefully dust-jacketed books and pamphlets and plastic sleeves on temporary shelves in Melbourne's University Woods and Hall. He's preparing his stall for this weekend's Melbourne Rare Book Fair. For people like White, who run independent bookshops for the cooks, the book of physical objects is more important than what's just inside of it. When you start destroying the book, you start destroying the history with the book, and then they can rewrite history because we weren't there, and now they create doubt of what really happened.
That's exactly right.
World War II has become a footnote to the Holocaust. The international banking cartel started World War I, and they started World War II, period, to enslave the planet. Now, if you don't want to believe that, that's okay. You can just do some research and figure out that I was right about that, because I've done a lot of research on this. And the last chance that we had, and you guys can read into this all you want to read into it, to free ourselves from the tyranny of the Kabbalist, Sabbatean, synagogue of Satan bankers was 1933. Do the math, figure that one out on your own. What's your next story, Austin?
I got a really cool article here. Yeah, I had a real good friend of mine, one of my dive buddies. He got his blood work done the other day, sent it to me, and I was doing some little bit of overview on it. And his cholesterol, actually really good. It was like 198, but his HDLs were really high. Of course, they want your LDLs now to be like under 100.
And so stupid.
Well, here's the stupid part about it with cholesterol, is that the only way you can really get into the range they want is you've got to go on statins. Because if you're eating a lot of healthy fats, a lot of avocados, a lot of butter, a lot of, you know, basically olive oil, your cholesterol is going to be really good. Really good range cholesterol, it's not the perfect number they want you to be. It's designed, the whole thing with the American Cardiac Association is designed to get you into the statin bracket. That's what it's for, the cholesterol market they have on it.
That's the number one drug we tell you, and what's it, Breakthrough Health, that I tell you
stay
guys never to tell you. Never
do your research on it. I'm not giving you any medical advice.
Change your diet if you want your cholesterol down. Just, you know,
cholesterol is one of the easiest things to get under control. Well, ironically enough, here's an article. Cholesterol boosts your body's cancer-fighting abilities. Mount Sinai researchers discover cholesterol's critical role in enhancing immune cells' ability to detect and fight cancer.
I'm going to say this.
Oh, my gosh.
No, Austin, I've said this for 10 years. When your cholesterol drops under 200, all disease rates go up. Cancer goes through the roof. Under 100, you're pretty much going to get cancer, period. And I'm telling you guys, it's – I don't know what to say. I can say that same sentence over and over again, but statin drugs are unbelievably bad. They cause skeletal muscle necrosis. They cause kidney damage. They wreck the immune system. And I've told you, they cause, when you get your cholesterol down, they cause cancer, period.
Period. They said the study from Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, New York, revealed that cholesterol plays a crucial role in the function of dendritic cells, the immune cells that help the body recognize and fight cancer. So it's almost like your body was designed to have healthy levels of cholesterol so it could function properly and fight off issues with the immune system. I don't know. Maybe God didn't mess up with that one. Good idea there.
You know, it's so funny. Yesterday I was talking to somebody and they told me, well, homosexuality is not a sin. And I looked at her kind of funny and I said, why do you say that? Well, it seems like there's so many gays now. Well, how could it be a sin? I said, it really doesn't matter what people think is a sin or is not a sin. It's very clear in what the Bible says. It's missing the mark. That's what the term sin means. You have like a bullseye on a target. You're missing the mark. And I said, well, you could. And I said, you know, what God's word says something. It's kind of the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. And that's why I always tell people. I say, look, you can eat pork. You know, if you want, but it's not what God wants you to do. And it's going to massively increase the risk of cancer. You think, well, are you saying eating pork is a sin? Well, in the Old Testament, it was. You know, and so what you got to realize is that, you know, these principles that God gave us are there for our protection. You know, now if a person wants that lifestyle, they want to do that, that's their choice.
Well, here's the thing, it goes back to it again, though. It's a lot of times people love to judge everybody because their sin is different than everybody else's.
That's what we just said, yeah.
And the difference is about it is this. If you're going to do it, own it. Know it's a sin. Try to do better. That's the biggest thing on it. But don't try to sit there and manipulate the word of God and be like, well, I know it's not bad because I interpret it this way. Just own it. If you screw up and you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, just, you know what? I shouldn't be doing this.
You know, it was Scott Fitzgerald that said that a true genius can look at both sides of the variables, both sides of the equation, both sides of the argument, and argue equally on both sides.
That's correct.
And you got to learn to own stuff. Somebody said to a friend of mine the other day, you know, your relationships are being affected by your past relationships, and you're judging people too soon, and you're dumping people too fast, and it's because of what's happened to you in the past. My friend looked at him and said, you're right. That's exactly true.
Fact.
Own it. And you know, so you say, well, I can't believe he'd own it. Look, if you mess up, if you're eating the wrong food, somebody says, hey, you know, you need to chill this out with this junk that you're eating. Okay, you're right. I'm going to own this. I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, I mean, like you go to a restaurant and you order a chef salad and you order a turkey because you don't want pork. And the turkey comes out like it's been pink dyed. That's sodium nitrite.
That is your sodium nitrite.
That reacts with stomach acid to form a nitrosamine, which reacts with stomach acid to form cancer and all the rest of your stomach and intestinal tract. So if you get turkey's not pink, by the way, it's white. If it's pink, it's been dyed with sodium nitrite.
Same way salmon isn't bright synthetic orange.
Well, sometimes they put sodium nitrite in that too.
Well, no, but there's the food coloring too.
So there's certain things like sodium nitrite that react to stomach acid that cause all kinds of cancer problems. Just don't say, hey, look, this turkey is supposed to be white. It's pink. I'm going to have this substituted for some beef. Just, I don't want to do this. And then you find out that the chicken they sell there is a chicken loaf. It's been glued together.
Oh, yeah. That's very
common. Or the turkey's
though.
A turkey loaf, and they slice it. And it's just glued together, and it's just all the byproducts. And they dump a bunch of sodium nitrite in it as a preservative. And now it's a big cancer-causing agent that you're ingesting into your bowels. And you're like, well, maybe I don't want to eat this. Maybe if you have sodium nitrite. Or, you know, here's the thing you always do. Ask them before you know, you eat it, does this contain sodium nitrite before you order it?
A lot of times they're not going
to
know that.
Yesterday, we went to a restaurant. We ordered a steak without the bread. You know, so it was
actually, what we ordered was a Philly cheesesteak with no bread.
And we had
the beef with the peppers or the mushrooms or the onions and cheese on it.
And we asked them to cook it in olive oil.
Yeah, and with no bread.
Yeah, it was great. Stay with me all day.
I came home and trained, though. Boy, I could tell I had no carbs yesterday.
Oh, slug.
That pump just didn't get me. Like, I was sitting there, I'm like, man, I feel like I have no carbs, like no glycogen in me. I was like, oh, yeah, I've been eating straight meat all day.
Oh, by the way, have you ever watched
Well, hold on a second.
What do you got?
I got to finish this.
Oh.
We got sidetracked.
We're
on purple
about?
Sticks.
Oh,
dendritic cells.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want to finish this final part on it. Stay with me for a second. We got real rabbit trailed.
Good focus.
My purple stick's been in. His is getting in.
Mine have kicked in.
All right. So back to this reason why they're talking about how cholesterol fights cancer. This is what they're saying. They said dendritic cells act as the body's scouts, patrolling for threats such as cancer cells and alerting the immune system to take action. To do this effectively, dendritic cells must mature and communicate with other immune cells in a process fueled by cholesterol. So when your cholesterol is non-existent or goes below some stupid range, the immune cells, these dendritic cells, can't communicate with one another. It's like taking their phones away from them. Okay, dendritic cells, you're supposed to do your job, but now I'm taking everybody's cell phones. Y'all are in restriction. They go, well, how are we supposed to talk to one another if I have cancer cells? Well, I don't know. My cholesterol's so low, I can't even think right now.
Take the cell phone away. Teenagers, there you go.
Yeah. And it goes on to say here, the study published shows that cholesterol helps form small cholesterol-rich structures on the surface of dendritic cells called lipid nanodomains. These hubs are vital for signaling the immune system to recognize and fight cancer. So these lipid nanodomains are literally like a cell phone. They're basically, the dendritic cells pick them up and go, hey, I'm in trouble. I found a cancer cell. Everybody else goes, buzzer wipe. And all of a sudden you got 50,000 dendritic cells that show up because they got cell phones and they go, all right, here's a cancer cell. Now we're going to fight it.
Now it tells the lymphatic system and the immune system and the and all the other things.
The macrophage.
Yep. To come in and get rid of these things.
Yep.
And then, but the macrophage can't turn on without D3.
And D3's again, a fat.
You know what's so funny? I'm going to stop for 1 second. The other day I was talking to a friend of mine. She goes, you know, don't you believe in evolution? And I'm like, I said, the problem is if you're a biologist or a chemist or a doctor and you go in and you start analyzing this stuff, this is so stinking complicated. Yeah, there's no way that lightning hit a rock causing a peptide forming a protein that developed and turned into an amoeba. First of all, that even can't happen. They never been able to replicate that, by the way. And that amoeba decides it's going to do the amoeba dance and go, oh, I want to be a human being. It doesn't work that. Do you realize how complicated this is?
And I am dumbing this way down explaining this right now. Like, this is extremely complex. The only thing that I agree with is survival of the fittest or natural selection. I do agree with that as far as aspect of nature. The strongest, fastest always survive in real nature. The problem is now we've dumbed down society so much. Some of the people that can't even function, don't even know how to basically do certain things, still get to continue to breed and have more kids because we're giving them money to function in society. And normal natural selection doesn't occur.
There's a really good video you can watch. It's called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale.
Earl Nightingale is a good
content. It's like a 30-minute video, and it talks about how our society is set up like a convoy in times of war on the ocean. If the fastest ship could go 40 knots and the slowest ship can do 5 knots, the entire convoy...
We're doing 5 knots.
The convoy does 5 knots. And it says that's how the world has been set up now to go with the slowest person. The problem is we've dumbed down so many people now with drugs. We've dumbed down so many people now with injecting them with mercury and
killing their cholesterol with statins.
That people have just they walk around in a stupor. Have you noticed how bad the drivers are now? No,
I just had this conversation with Orlando this week.
No, and most of them are drugged. And here's the thing: a lot of them have realized if they drive really slow. Here's the worst: you're at an intersection, light turns green. The car in front of you jumps on the gas and takes off and then slams on the brake.
Yeah.
There's only one reason they're doing that. They're trying to have you rear-end them.
Which, by the way, guys, that's very common in Florida because of the lawsuits and the attorneys down here. Pretty much can get $10,000.
No.
An insurance claim.
Well, no. And then, I've had this happen to me multiple times.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you do, you watch the light and you watch the person in front of you. And you got your foot on the brake. Like, all right, what are you going to do now? And you learn to be unbelievably defensive. You got to give enough space between you and the person in front of you that you can stop. Because in Florida, it doesn't matter. You hit somebody from the rear,
it's always your fault.
And quite frankly, you're right. They're right. That means but you'll see it. They'll come into an intersection. They got to go. They go. They stop. And they're waiting for you to rear-end them. I've had them do this in my motorhome before. I'm like, are you insane? I said, I could kill you in this thing. Doesn't matter. They want to get that money. They want to start the lawsuit. And it happens over and over and over again. And again, they're so dumbed down. They're like a ship in time of calm. The only way they can make money and pay their bills, they got to sue people all the time.
Yeah.
I know people that have been in dozens of lawsuits like that. And they drive around at 10, 12, 15 miles an hour. It's awful. And it's just waiting for somebody to rear end them.
Well, I remember years ago, I wouldn't call it an accident. I was in my pickup truck in Orlando. And I'm driving. I'm in the right lane, just chilling, about to take an exit. And this car, I mean, it looked like a battle wagon from some futuristic movie as far as the middle of an apocalypse. I mean, it's like every single panel's been hit on it. The car's full, like 4 people in it. And I'm in the right lane, and they're right beside me. I mean, I'm talking like I could reach out and hit their glass. So I slow down. They slow down with me. Then I speed up, and then they suddenly get behind me. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? This is odd. So I take an exit. They're still behind me. All of a sudden, PD pulls me over. 2 cops pull me over. And this is like 9 o'clock at night. And I'm not speeding or anything. I'm just taking an exit. They come to the window. I said, hey, officer, what's going on? He goes, you had a collision with another vehicle. I said, no, I didn't. I said, I haven't touched anybody. They said, yeah. They said you hit their mirror. I said, I hit their mirror? I said, please, I might be my guest. Show me where I hit their mirror. We get out of the car. There's no markings on my vehicle. And he goes, well, they said you hit their mirror and their mirror's broken. I said, their whole car's broken. What does that have to do with me? He goes, well, you get an attitude with me, boy. I'm writing you a ticket. I said, a ticket for what? Because you hit their mirror and you didn't stop. I said, listen, now I'm leaving the scene of an accident. I said, I stopped as soon as you pulled me over. He goes, whoa, I'm riding up. Write me a doggone accident ticket. My fault. Said I hit them. Took it to court. I won the ticket. They still got $10,000 out of my insurance company because the insurance company said, we don't want any part of this. Here's 10 grand. Shut up. Sign it. Of course, they got it.
I had the same thing happen in the motorhome one time. I'm driving through Atlanta, right, going north of Atlanta, and all of a sudden this beater. I mean, it's been hit everywhere. Yeah. Pulls up beside me, and they wouldn't get out of my blind spot. And finally, they pull around me, and they're trying to flag me down. I'm like, I don't know who this person is. And they finally left and took an exit and left. And then I pulled up the exit, the next exit, say, what the world's going on? And I had a tiny scuff on the side of my car, which may or may not have been caused by them. I don't know, on the RV. So I called the doggone state troopers up. And I said, I've been hit.
Yeah.
I want to report a hit. I've been hit. And they said that happens all the time up there.
Oh, yeah.
That people pull up beside you, and they want you to say, okay, this guy's got an RV. He's got to have a couple $100 in cash. Let me go and get the cash from this guy.
Well, what happens is, too, and I found this out that night, if there's a alleged accident or collision, even if minute as such, the larger vehicle technically is always charged. So because I was in a pickup truck and they were in a Charger, I was technically the larger vehicle that hit them, and I never touched them at all. And I don't know.
I never touched the other guy on the
interstate. So I argued to high heavens. It's funny, the ticket even got dropped. He gave me a failure to stay in my lane. I said, there's no failure to stay in my lane. I never moved. You didn't even see anything. Ticket got dismissed. They still got 10 grand from the insurance company. Because remember, state of Florida, insurance companies, pretty much any basically claims adjuster is pretty much able to go up to $10,000.
They're authorized
to write a $10,000 check with no oversight just to make the claim go away because they realized a long time ago, 10 grand, sign it, shut up, don't talk to me ever again. Insurance company writes it off. And so what's happened is now there's an entire industry in Florida based solely off that $10,000 to $15,000 mark.
Now here's something.
I've got
something that could help that, but it becomes a privacy problem. Creepy smart glasses are creating a privacy problem. If you're wearing smart glasses that are recording everything that you see and you realize that somebody ran into you and you didn't hit them, now you got some evidence about it. These glasses are quickly becoming the next major consumer tech battleground with Meta, of course I don't recommend Meta, leading the market and rivals including Google and Samsung and Apple preparing their own AI-powered eyewear. But as the devices become more capable, they're also feeling a growing debate over whether the convenience is coming at an expense, according to a new report from Wired. Unlike smartphones, which require users to visibly point a camera, smart glasses quietly capture photos.
Yep. And video.
Now, you think about this. I've got a friend of mine. I hate to say this about him. He's a great guy. I love him. But he likes to take candid photos of women on their first date with him. You think, that's kind of creepy. I didn't say it wasn't creepy. But with a set of smart glasses, you can do that real easily and not take candid photos. They won't even know you're taking photos of them. Even so, consumers continue to buy them. Fans point to hands-free photography, AI assistance, live translation, accessibility features, and other practical uses that make the glasses more than just another gadget. Some smaller manufacturers are trying to distinguish themselves with camera-free designs or physical lens covers aimed at privacy-conscious buyers. Wired writes that privacy groups say the technology may ultimately require regulation rather than voluntary safeguards, calling for mandatory recording indicators that users cannot disable. Kids use these on exams.
They're being used everywhere, bro.
No, I mean, this is a mess.
And now you've got the active.
But you can tell what they look like. They're big.
They're really, really obvious. The problem is now they've got the new AI ones that have the facial recog in them.
Well, now
they pulled those back off the market, though, because they literally were testing them. They could walk up to individuals on the street and turn the system on, it would do a full facial, basically a recog scan on your face, and it would do a full AI scrub of the internet. And within a few seconds, you could have anything that person's ever posted. They're basically photos from their high school, their name, their information, video, anything that's online.
Correct. Why do we think we have AI? Why do we think we have? And now, let me say one more thing. They're not coming up with contact lenses, the same thing.
Yes.
You say, well, you're kidding. No, I'm not.
That technology's been around for a long time. It's just now to the civilian market. But the military's been using that for years.
Contact lenses?
Yeah, and lenses like that use AI systems as far as have better battlefield recognition. Well,
by the way, this came from Roswell. Night vision, lasers, printed circuit boards. All this stuff started in 1947.
Well, remember when they had the augmented virtual reality goggles that came out? They're adapting even more now where people walk around with them. They watch them. Put on their face. It's virtual reality in the real world. So you see all this other stuff going on. It's augmented virtual reality. That's coming out soon where you don't even have to wear those goggles anymore. They're going to have just either a lens you can put over your eye.
Let me clarify what I just said. Some of you didn't get it. Roswell is in 1947 when they shot down an alien spacecraft. It really wasn't an alien. It was a fallen Angel technology spacecraft that was here since the beginning with the first flood. I cover this in Angel Wars. And what happens is they had radar systems watching this. They had like 8 radar systems that were converged on this object flying. And here's the problem. And this is what they didn't even realize until they did it. When you take 2 radar systems and you converge them on top of each other, you create a longitudinal wave. Okay? That's what it creates. You take another one over here and you create another longitudinal wave. Now you got 2 longitudinal waves looking at the spacecraft. And they cross, they create a scalar energy field. Pop. Took down the electronics on the aircraft, on the spaceship, put it on the ground, crashed it. It was an accident how they did it. They had no idea that a scalar energy field would do that to that spaceship. So now they use that in their technology. And now scalar energy fields are the same way our body communicates cellular-wise. That's how we do this. It's why you can take your blood and take it to Australia, have you watch a scary movie here in Florida, and release adrenochromes, you know, fear molecules, and your blood in Australia releases at the same time. CIA did these experiments years ago. And the same thing happens instantaneously through scalar energy fields. That's why the mitochondria are functioning through that, because they're not connected to nerves. Remember this. And that's how our gut connects to our brain, is through scalar energy fields, because our energy field and our body basically goes in and out of another dimension thousands of times a second. And we have an antimatter tether that holds us here. That's what holds us in this dimension. That's why when we pass away, we don't really leave. We don't die. We just change locations. That's what this is about, and that's why we talk about this so much on this show. That's why when I talk about this, I'm talking about scalar energy, and that's the technology that took that spaceship down, and that's where they came up with all of this crazy stuff, Austin, including the Aegis satellite systems, space-based weapon platforms, scalar energy fields, and a lot of it also came from Nikola Tesla, who was basically talking to some interdimensional entity also, which, of course, the Viril Maidens did the same thing in Germany. And all of this stuff is very, very, very real. Don't let them tell you. They're 500 years, by the way, ahead of us in technology.
Nikola Tesla was the one who really started working with 5G and 6G and directed energy what platform.
He called it a death ray.
Yeah, that's what it called. The directed energy weapons active denial systems that we started testing in the 90s with the Army, that's the same systems as basically he was building 100 years ago.
When he died, the FBI went in his office. He actually hooked a module up to one of the skyscrapers in New York. And he wanted to see what kind of frequency he could put out through this energy field, and started doing the pulse the same way the energy of the building went. The whole building started shaking, started coming apart. He had to turn it off. He was that advanced. And that's the same way the space-based weapon systems work. You think of how do you think 9/11 happened? How do you think those towers came down? How do you think they turned into powder and dust? Judy Wood talks about her book the day after, Where Did the Towers Go? Great, great book. You all need to read it. But this stuff is so advanced, but they don't tell us about it. Why? Because it tells us that we don't need petrochemical oil.
Right. Well,
there's enough energy to eat in the ether that we don't have to have oil burning cars.
If you guys want to look that up, too, it's the Wardenclyffe Tower Project in New York. It was started in 1903 with Nikola Tesla, and he was basically going to start giving everybody free
energy. J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, and essentially what happened was it started to become a success. He started figuring out and dialed it in. And, of course, once everything happened, he died, that entire tower system was demolished.
Oh, yeah. That
was going to directly compete with big oil back then.
And another thing, too, the Tunguska, when that whole hundreds of thousands of acres in Russia were destroyed, he was going to broadcast energy across the planet. He lit that sucker up, and supposedly that's what caused that. Because there was no meteorite that landed. It destroyed hundreds of thousands of acres of forest in the middle of Russia. Now, but you know, I really don't understand something here. And it seems odd to me. I'm going to say something a lot of you are going to like, and a lot of you are going to think I'm crazy. And if you don't understand it, it's okay. How in the world, since the Earth is so round, were we over here, and he broadcasted a directed energy beam on the other side of the planet and had to go around the curvature? Oh, I just thought I'd mention that. I'm not saying anything else.
Just went through the Earth. The other side.
No, it would disassociate
energy. Yeah, it would.
Just doesn't make any sense.
Back to my cholesterol topic, since we're just all over the place today. You guys want to know a couple healthy things you can do to maintain healthy cholesterol and keep your immune system strong with healthy cholesterol? Eat healthy fats. I say this all the time, but I'm going to repeat it here. Give me camera 4. Eat healthy fats. Focus on foods such as avocado, fatty fish, wild-caught salmon. I brought Dad the other day some fresh smoked wild-caught salmon, one of the only ones you can still find.
I shared that with Vambo.
How was it?
It was
Delicious, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, it was. I could have done without the pepper, though.
You didn't like that?
The pepper was good, but I like it better. I like the flavor.
Straight, yeah. Well, I would try that one. I haven't had a pepper in a while. And exercise regularly, this is huge. It doesn't have to be going in and lifting heavy weights, even though exercise and resistance training is excellent. Cardiovascular health is also tied to stronger immune system. Avoid trans fats. This is huge. Processed snacks, hydrogenated oil, baked goods, fried foods, soybean oil, cholesterol. All this stuff, that will wreck your cholesterol levels. That is a fact. You eat massive amounts of deep fat fried soybean oil and canola oil, your LDLs will go through the roof very quickly.
You know what's crazy about this? This is like my top 10 list of foods never eat.
I know. That's why I had to cover it, because I know somebody's going to say I didn't finish my thought process. And next story I want to cover in here, new study links how magnesium, low magnesium, to DNA damage and chronic disease risk.
Well, it's using over 300 biochemical reactions in the body, and without it, you're not going to be able to maintain DNA or maintain any kind of cellular function.
It says potentially safeguards against age-related chronic disease, but yet most people don't get enough. Up to 15% of the United States don't get enough magnesium. I think that number's closer to probably 30 to 40% now with a poor diet everybody's got with the fast food all the time.
It's more than that. It's 80%.
Yeah, it says a study published in the European Journal of Nutrition in June as a growing body of evidence highlighted the importance of magnesium for overall health, linking magnesium levels, low magnesium levels, to increased DNA damage. Researchers at University of South Australia suggest that magnesium is particularly central in protecting against age-related chronic diseases. In my opinion, this is one of the reasons why the magnesium brain food we have probably has one of the most effective responses.
Magnesium thionate.
It's got magnesium thionate, which blood goes to the blood-brain barrier. And I think a lot of people are so deficient in magnesium, when they take that product, the results are just astronomical.
Click on this one also. Magnesium deficiency is linked to metabolic syndrome.
I'll switch gears. Let me grab a second.
Well, no, I want to talk about this again.
I am.
Here, boom. Magnesium deficiency is linked to metabolic syndrome. Here's how to boost the intake.
Yep.
You know, this is the thing. You know, it deals with the thyroid gland. It deals with all kinds of stuff. It deals with elevated, you know, cholesterol that's too high. It deals with elevated.
It's right here. It says common symptoms of magnesium depletion include muscle cramps, headaches, eye twitch, insomnia, fatigue, irritability, sensation of a lump in the throat. These symptoms stem from magnesium's role in supporting the gamma-aminobutyric acid brain system, essential for relaxation and stress reduction. Big deal. It's funny. I had a friend of mine there. They had an issue with the eye. It started to twitch occasionally. Just randomly kind of like just twitch. And sure enough, I was like, well, let's throw some magnesium brain food in it. Literally by the second day, eye twitch had completely stopped.
It can also cause tachycardia.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you've had a lot of issues with heavy alcohol consumption.
Oh, yeah.
You have to get magnesium back in your system. Even if you stop drinking, you've got to get your magnesium stores up. Alcohol wipes out magnesium. And when I mean wipes it out, I mean strips it out of your body. One of the reasons why you drink, a lot of times you get a headache, it's a magnesium deficiency,
diuretic,
dehydration issue. This is another article going into detail. It says people who drink alcohol have more harmful oral bacteria, study finds. And one of the issues this happens is alcohol is wipes out everything, right? That's why a lot of times you have to do blood draw or something like that. They put an alcohol swab on it, wipes everything out. Here's the problem. When you wipe all bacteria out, bad bacteria flourishes afterwards. This is another reason why. This is something that hasn't gotten addressed very often. When you have had a lot of alcohol consumption, even minor alcohol consumption, you need to make sure you're taking probiotics afterwards. The reason why is alcohol also wipes out a lot of the good bacteria in the gut, because of how strong it is.
Now, you have to drink a lot of alcohol to have that happen.
That is a fact.
Because the alcohol will absorb through the stomach first.
Correct. But again, if you're eating, if you're doing a lot, or if you've gotten out of it, or basically you're trying to recover, you're doing something like I talked about before, getting your cortisol back to baseline and stepping away from alcohol, make sure you're taking the probiotic to really get your gut bacteria up, get your gut-brain axis back in check. So your body has the ability to produce proper amounts of serotonin and dopamine and stuff like that. Because what happens is, well, all that stuff becomes out of whack with heavy alcohol consumption. So just some tidbits for that on there as well.
I mean, I'll say one more thing. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of throat and jaw cancer is caused by alcohol consumption.
That is a fact. A lot of people always blame it on tobacco.
Well, they think it's tobacco, but it's not. Yeah, it's alcohol.
Because a lot of times they go together. Most people just smoke cigarettes and they're drinking, or most people smoke cigars and they're drinking bourbon. And so those two go together a lot of times, and they blame it on tobacco. Some cases, it's the alcohol.
Well, I've seen it over and over. Alcohol also precipitates calcium, and a lot of people end up losing basically teeth and everything else from drinking a lot. You see that a lot. And the person I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, who basically is dying now, is dying of throat cancer. He was an alcoholic his entire life.
Do you smoke too?
No. Just alcohol. And, you know, I had a lady that I knew years ago. She ended up with, you know, mandible cancer in her jaw. And she was a big boozer. And then she ended up having treatment done on it. And it's been a nightmare for her for 6 years, trying to keep her alive. And then they finally, some guy came in and sewed her tongue to the bottom of her mouth.
That's horrible.
I mean, Austin knows the story. Yeah. It's horrible. Oh, by the way, let's say this episode more, a little more humorous here. The great romance slump. Why are so few people actually finding love? And it goes on to detail, says, about 90 seconds into a 3-minute hug with a stranger, I began to think that dying alone might not be so bad after all. Did I just say that? I'd come to a candlelight loft in Manhattan for a mindful singles event called The Feels, which was designed to be the opposite of a disembodied experience of dating apps. I'll attest to that. Participants' phones tucked away, paired up, and attempted a series of somatic awareness exercises, including staring into another stranger's eyes. That's weird. Hugging and holding a hand over each other's heart. We've been warned that discomfort was part of the process. The facilitator reminded us that as long as consent and respect are involved, a little uneasiness opens the door to vulnerability. Wait a minute. This is with a total stranger? I have to do a hard pass on this one, Austin. And sadly enough, people are so sick of dating apps and dealing with that junk, they're trying to do this meeting, and they have, of course, speed dating. You go in and pay $500. You meet 25 people you don't want to know to start with, but you pay $500. And you have these people like It's Just Lunch, which I don't recommend at all. Total waste of time. Don't ever hire them, use them, or anything else. And they tell you they're going to do all these great things for you because they're a dating specialist, and they're going to hook you up with people, and it ends up being just a giant, you know, nightmare trying to deal with those people. Be very, very careful in what you do and what you spend money on stuff like this, because in most cases, all they are is a ripoff. So what do you think?
I'm going to say something. It's going to sound kind of weird right now, but you guys bear with me for a second. I've never said this before, but I'm going to declare it. Just tell you guys this.
Declare it.
Be very cautious who you engage in physical touch with. Certain people have very offset frequencies that don't vibe with yours. It's a fact.
Demon possessed.
I'm not making any claims on anybody, but be careful who I'm. And the reason why too is because certain things have become way too appropriate that are not appropriate, in my opinion. For example, I don't like hugging other guys' wives. It's just going to be something weird. I don't do that.
Don't touch
them. You know,
them.
I mean, it's one thing. It's like, you know, your friends, like, whatever. But, you know, I've been around guys before that are way too handsy with other men's wives or other people's girlfriends.
I've chewed them out before.
And it goes the opposite. There's also girls that are way too touchy-feely with you. And in my opinion, there's certain things that start that shouldn't start, and it all starts with a touch. Always does. Always has.
Or a look.
There's always a touch and a look, but looks and touches. The touch is always what escalates it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, in my opinion as well, it's just best not to start doing that. And then as well, if you're going out with somebody or doing that, be cautious how much time and energy you put into somebody and their energy and their frequency, and it's meshing with yours. You know, I'm funny about who I hang out with just in general. There's some people you get around them and you're just, I don't like. And a look, but looks and touches. The touch is always what escalates it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, in my opinion as well, it's just best not to start doing that. And then as well, if you're going out with somebody or doing that, be cautious how much time and energy you put into somebody and their energy and their frequency, and it's meshing with yours. You know, I'm funny about who I hang out with just in general. There's some people you get around them and you're just, I don't like that. That's why I like to be around people that are trying to be positive, they're trying to be healthy, they're trying to be successful, and invariably you'll always find out that positive energy is contagious in a positive way, just like negative energy is contagious in a negative way. You hang around enough people that are constantly negative, constantly putting themselves down, constantly talking about how broke they are and how sick they are, you will invariably start to act, think, and do what they do. Show top five people you hang out with, I'll show you your future. So be careful as well where you're doing and how much physical touch and engagement you have with certain individuals, especially the opposite sex, especially if you have a girlfriend, they have a girlfriend, vice versa. I've watched a lot of relationships fail because somebody just started getting a little too friends and a little too handsy with other people, and all of a sudden find, oh, they're getting divorced now, or they're breaking up, so-and-so's dating each other now, and I'm like, I kind of saw that one coming. Just my two cents on it. You don't have to agree with me on it. I'm just giving you what I've seen.
I remember years ago, Cher and I first got together. We had some friends in Tallahassee, and they went and started doing the dancing, the line dancing.
Yeah.
Right? And the man basically was dancing with this other guy's wife.
Yeah.
And the guy's wife was a friend of his father. Her husband was a friend of ours. And I warned him. I said, don't do this. Don't let her touch another guy. It's too intimate. Oh, no, she would never.
Especially in a dancing scenario.
No, it wasn't even 6 weeks. She was having an affair on. They ended up getting divorced.
There you go.
But I see it. I remember Zig Ziglar said, you never touch another man's wife, especially if you're married. People always ask me, how did you have such a great marriage for 38 years with Sharon? I didn't touch other women. And if other guys tried to touch her, I put a stop to it. I told you one time, I was on a ship, and the guy tried to grab her. It was his captain's, you know, his first mate. And I grabbed him by the wrist, and I said, you touch my wife again, I'm going to knock you out. And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, "What'd you say?" I said it to him again. He's a big guy, but he's about 6 foot four. And I said, "You don't touch my wife." And then all the other women started applauding around me. We were trying to leave the ship. Some guys are just like that. And what they're doing, they're putting feelers
That's
out.
That's exactly right.
They're letting, let's say if I touch 100 women today, two or three of them will contact me.
That's exactly right.
You know, and I'll be having sex with two or three of them this week while they're on the ship. You think, they don't do that. If you don't think they do that, you're in some naive world. They do that all the time. Don't let other men touch your wife. And tell your wife, no, you don't do that. You don't touch other men. It needs to be. This is a baseline. This is not something we should have to talk about. You should know this as a husband, as a wife. You don't touch the opposite sex. It creates an energy field that sometimes does this. It clicks.
And you go, it does.
No, and sometimes it repels. Because you walk into a room and there's somebody you don't want to be around. You'll feel the energy pull you away. And sometimes you feel the energy like, and you're married. And all of a sudden, you look at somebody and go, no, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to her. I'm not talking to him. I'm not doing any of this stuff because the energy's too close. Not doing it. By the way, Trump now is denying any knowledge of the Gianni Infantino's disastrous plot to sell the World Cup in final humiliation for the FIFA as far as that giant thing that we had as far as the World Cup soccer series. I'm telling you this. I'm going to say it to you again. All of these international teams and even the NFL teams and everybody else that you know of, a lot of this stuff is controlled through the bookies in Vegas, period.
And I'm not saying all the players.
No.
A lot of these guys are great players. Mm-hmm. They're great soccer players.
And they're still great athletes.
They're insane athletes. But what happens is when you have the most expensive sporting event in world history, which was this last incident, this last game system, you invariably are going to have massive amounts of betting, massive amounts of manipulation. It happens every time. And that's one of the reasons, too. It wasn't accidental that they had everything lined up to click. You go, this conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. It's a fact. There's a reason why they had everything lined up perfectly with the way this Iran war was escalating in this weird way that all of a sudden this took over with the soccer. Everybody was watching every day. And I called this out before it even started. This whole surveillance program put billions of dollars on the table for surveillance agencies to go in and add new cameras, new facial recall. Every single city, every town that these basically games are being played in, the stadiums got upgraded surveillance and the surrounding areas. And you bet this, none of it got turned off now that the game's over. Right. It's all in place and ready to rock and roll continually.
Well, Infantino had devised a $20 billion commercial subsidiary plan backed by Joshua Kushner, the brother of Jared Kushner, is the U.S. special envoy for peace and married to Trump's daughter Ivanka. But according to the president himself, news of any potential deal didn't get as far as the Oval Office, with Trump quickly shutting down questions about the World Cup plan when asked about it on Friday. When asked, did Mr. Infantino speak to you about his proposal to sell a stake in the World Cup, Trump brutally replied, "Who?" After the question was repeated, the president then said, "No, I didn't speak to him." This stuff is so intertwined, it's unbelievably sickening.
Jared Kushner's brother.
Oh, whatever.
Gosh. Man. All right, guys. Magnesium health articles. You guys want to read about this more, magnesium brain food. I pulled it up on the site. More than magnesium, how each ingredient magnesium brain food supports the mind and body. This goes into detail on magnesium thionate. Why it's so effective. Also, why it's expensive.
It's expensive.
It is. The Rawls on it.
It's patented. That's why it costs.
Well, magnetine patented it. That's the only place I can get the Rawls from. But it's pricey, but it works, and there's a reason why it works so well. So check that out if you want to read into it. And another health article that Harrison wrote for me this week. It talks about CoQ10, ubiquinol, new research on mitochondria efficiency, CoQ10 maintenance. This is a really good article. I'm going to cover more tomorrow. And the article you discussed yesterday, plant-based energy and exercise metabolism. Guys, I put these articles up here for free. Quite frankly, I should probably be charging for them considering how much time and energy we put into it.
Harrison's expensive. He doesn't do this for free.
No, he doesn't do it for free. He's an attorney. Mm-hmm. They don't do anything for free. So, guys, these are where I put the articles together to answer questions for you. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. But, I mean, we have just an array of different topics. And so if you got a question about something, check out the site first. Look over the products. Look over the research. Look over the articles. And be sure to get the product of the week on sale if you want it. Purple stick powder in a can for over 12% off right now. Check out the best sellers as well. You guys want anything on here, make sure you leave a review after you buy it. And if you like it, thank you guys for the support. Thank you for continually showing up for our show. Thank you for the YouTubers today. I saw a bunch of comments on there. And thank you for making Health Masters your number one health shop. anything, you know where to get a hold of us, guys. Have a great evening.
And please tell your friends that are also using YouTube about our show on YouTube to try and grade.
Yes.
Because they're so shadow banned.
They're so shadow banned.
No, it's unbelievable. But thank you. And remember, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. He's the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who died for us on a cross and shed his blood as an eternal sacrifice for us to bring us back to that of the Father. I love you guys, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you for your support. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.